The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoy this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode.
Yeah, I kind of, I was like sitting here and was like, what did I do? I mean, I assumed that you were probably asleep or something.
But, yeah. It is funny. They're you know, the new Bill Burr comedy special. It's like basically, I forgot the title of it, but it is something about like to do with men this age.
Oh, yeah. I have seen that on TikTok and stuff.
Yeah. It is this timeline that people just start to keel. Yeah. Just fall over, go to sleep, don't wake up. So I've had that worry about a few of my friends before when I hadn't heard from them in a proper time or something. But
yeah. But it's okay. You're fine. I'm fine. Everybody's fine. We're here. We're recording. We're doing this podcast.
Right? I do have a funny story, though, that goes along with me sleeping when I'm supposed to be doing something.
Hit me with it.
And I don't tell these stories, and I don't put a lot on Facebook at all anymore, but I never did put these things on the thing because they're a little embarrassing.
Okay.
But it is funny. So back in like 2010, 2011, 2012 or whatever, I used to do videos for Nietzsche Wheels.
Uh-huh.
And Nietzsche Wheels, the guys that I worked with, they were owned by MHT Wheels, which owned like Foose and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to work with Chip Foose a bunch of times. So one time, the first time, was it the first time? I don't know if it was the first or second time, but we were going to meet at his house. And then he has an art studio in his house, his office, basically. And I was going to film him designing a new wheel for Foose Wheels. And the night before, or the day before, I had a shoot, and these were all in LA, so I had to drive down to Compton, shoot, and then drive back home, all in the 91 traffic and stuff.
Yeah, this is when you were living out here.
This is when I was living in Hemet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then back then, you know, I would come home, I'd have some drinks.
You're right.
I would want to edit these videos quickly, because the faster I edited the videos, the faster I got paid. And this was my first big, like, getting paid job. So, so I remember I had to wake up and be back in Orange County at like, I think it was 9 or 10 a.m. or something like that. So I was like, I had stayed up till like 3 in the morning.
Hanging out, editing this,
trying to finish this video, having some drinks. I woke up on time, but I got to like the 15 and the 74 right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled over off the side of the road. I was like, I'm just going to sleep for like 20 minutes, man. I'm like,
how long did that last?
Hours.
Wow.
So I was late to working with Chip Foose at his house.
Wow.
Like, he didn't have anywhere else to be on a weekday. You know what I mean?
And he's just like,
yeah, him and this one other guy were just waiting there for me. And I was like,
wow,
my bad. And I didn't even call him and tell him I was running. It was just like, yeah, it was very embarrassing.
Wow. Well, Hollywood, it's like that.
Yeah. No, but it doesn't happen very often now, because ever since I stopped drinking and doing all that stuff, my body, like, I wake up between 7 and 8 in the morning, like, automatically now.
Mm-hmm.
Where before I would stay up till 7, 8 in the morning and then
sleep
all day. So there are times now, like, once every year or 6 months or something, where I'll stay up editing, trying to catch up on things. And that's what I did last night. I stayed up way too late, so my body was like, what are you doing?
I'm feeling the same thing. My actually, funny enough, I had a similar experience this week. So we went down to our kids went down to Disneyland last weekend, and they were going with my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, and we dropped them off, and we're like, and she's like, well, hey, we're down here in Anaheim, let's go to an Angels game.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. So we did. And the seats that we got were in right field, the right field pavilion, basically. And it was right in the sun. So we watched the entire game just like with the sun like beating down on us. And we would take breaks, like go up, hang out in the shade, come down. It was actually a really, really cool experience. It's actually the first game that I've seen outside of Dodger Stadium. And the Dodgers weren't even playing. It was the Angels and the Guardians were playing. Yeah. But it was just on a whim, just on a complete whim to go. It was a lot of fun. But that, and then the night before, I was out in Riverside to watch the Pinks play, and I had a lot of fun there, if you could imagine. So I had a lot of fun there, got home super late, didn't get very good sleep, woke up early, drove down to Anaheim, sat in the sun all day long, drove home. I didn't feel right until Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like Monday, I'm like, okay, I'm fine. I'm tired, but I'm fine. But my head was all like discombobulated. I felt like disconnected from the world. It was really strange, but it took me 3 whole days to recover from that.
And I'm assuming you had some drinks at the, when you were,
well,
at,
that's
the,
what I'm saying. I had a lot of fun at the Pink Show.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. And that's where, like, when I stopped drinking, that's what I was taking me days to recover.
Right.
It, not just one day, not just like before, you know, it starts out with like, you wake up, you're fine. Mm-hmm. And then it starts out with like, oh, the afternoon. And then the evening, and then it just, as the years go by, it starts longer and longer and longer.
Yeah,
and you're definitely. Just like, what is happening?
Well, yeah, my body's telling me like, hey man, take it easy. But I mean, it's still a lot of fun. It's hard because I still enjoy having the fun, you know.
Well, that's
but,
the thing,
but
right?
It's like, but it's starting to, it is like, before it was like, oh man, I'm just having so much fun, okay, I'll deal with it. But now those scales are slowly starting to balance out. And now the feeling bad, like now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I don't think I want to feel like this for the next couple days, you know?
The thing that you should try to do, because I would, whenever I would edit, I would have drinks. And so, and then whenever I would be at a truck run, not a truck show, but like a truck run.
Run specifically, yeah.
Specifically a run where, you know, 3 days camping, partying, I would drink and that was my thing, right?
Yeah.
And then when I stopped, I was like, am I even going to be able to continue doing these things that I enjoyed while I was drinking?
Right.
And it was really like a damn it. Yeah. I don't know. And I did. And when
you got through it.
And when I went to the Unwritten Law show, I had just as much fun not drinking and doing the same things that I, because every time I would go to a show, that's what I would, that my thing would be. So it's like you, it's almost like your brain going, I have to drink in order to enjoy this, to have the same experience, but you actually don't.
Right.
So the next time that you do it, you should not do it.
See what happens.
And then just see the experience. Cause then you might go, oh, I don't even, the drinking thing is not the important thing.
Right.
It's the actual experience that's important. The drinking just amplified that.
Yeah, it just makes it just adds like another dimension to it. But yeah,
it was the funnest thing in the world to me.
I still think I would have a really good time. I mean, I'm there because, like, I'm there to enjoy something else, you know, that I really like. So I'm sure it all balances out eventually. I just have to make those decisions eventually someday. But I did have a lot of fun. And our conversation last week, we were talking about like t-shirts and wearing bands and stuff. And I told you two funny things. I told you about how I normally wear like club gear to these events. Not for any particular reason, but I did mention one time someone did notice it. Same thing at this show. Guy walking through and he's like, hey, Forbidden Fantasy. And I was like, yeah, man. He's like, yeah, I knew somebody. I mean, this is in Riverside. And like, it's like in the heart of you know, the what we do and everything. And he's like, oh, yeah, I knew so-and-so with a Mazda. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I don't remember a Mazda. But, yeah, it doesn't matter. Cool. I'm glad you recognized it, you know?
That's so cool. Yeah, if you're in Riverside or Marina Valley, Corona, and you're wearing Forbidden Fantasy gear and you're at a show like that, because a lot of that's...
There are a lot of the same age people. Yes. Yeah, it was definitely that, because it was obviously the Pinks, but Authority Zero.
Yeah, which, so that's like, yeah, that's all like, these guys our age grew up on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's all the same dudes. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it was funny that got recognized. And then it was also funny because our buddy Phil was listening to the episode, and then he sends me a message saying, hey, wearing club gear to shows is awesome. And he sends me a picture of him and this dude named Vincent Stigma. He's the guitarist for, oh my gosh, how am I forgetting the name of this band? Agnostic Front.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's a guitarist for Agnostic Front, which actually the lead singer of Agnostic Front is like a car dude. He started this club called Rumblers. Anyway, but yeah, so it was just kind of funny how like all that, like, you know, you put things out into the universe and then people say things, they hear it, and then they shoot you over messages. And he's like taking a picture of this dude and he's wearing like a Low Rollers, you know, shirt. So
did you see the video I sent you from the Drop Instagram about that guy that messaged the Drop and he goes, "This is where that stigma came from." I sent it to you on Instagram. And it was that video.
I did see that, and I've seen that before, and I do remember, like, oh yeah, is that where I got it from?
He said that he thinks that's where it all started from.
You? Oh really? Oh, that could be. That's an old movie.
It is an old movie, and it's like the guy saying you don't wear a band shirt to the band that you're seeing.
Right.
So imagine millions of people watching that, and then they go, oh.
And you want to know something else? You know who he's talking to in that clip is Jon Favreau.
Yeah,
was one of my favorite actors, and he started one of my favorite movies. So all of that probably melded in my brain together, you know, and then popped out this opinion.
So just like the current day social media changes your opinions on things. That's back in the day was movies.
It was movies,
and TV shows. That's where you get things from.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was very funny. But that was great. That was a fun weekend. But I haven't said this in a while, but it's been a week. This week has been a week for me. It was funny because I've been talking a lot about how I've been like more prepared for all the shows and everything and getting ready and printing more and just kind of like methodically going through and making sure that I'm doing things as I go. But for some reason, I feel like I'm still up against the wall. I'm still working on stuff. I still have some stuff to print. And then I had a pretty interesting thing happen earlier this week. I put in my order for my blanks, the regular brand that I use, Spectra. And it's funny because if you remember a couple weekends ago, Brandon was telling us about Spectra and about how things have changed and stuff. And so I put in my, I should have listened to him. I should have like heeded some advice, right? But, you know, I just put in my regular order. I get it. And I start printing on them. I'm like, these things aren't just slightly different. These are completely different. Like, they're completely different shirts.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, man, what do I do? So a couple nights ago, I'm standing here with all these shirts laid out. And it's interesting because, like, so we use Spectra, and those were manufactured in Mexico. They moved the manufacturing to Pakistan. So that's where they're being manufactured now. I also have my fallback shirt, if everything doesn't go good, is a 1301. American Apparel, which used to be All Style.
It's essentially an identical shirt to the Spectre ones.
Identical, but those were always thinner.
Yeah.
Like the Spectres were a little thicker, which I like.
Well, and now the Spectres that Brandon used for our show are thinner.
Those are the same ones that I got.
Yeah. And
I wasn't going to say that.
The tags are different. They're thinner. And he said he was having issues. Remember, that's what he was telling us.
Mm-hmm.
He was having issues, so he's going to change over to a different thing.
He said a completely different brand that I couldn't remember what he said. And I wasn't, I already know, 1301, or we'll call them American Apparels. I already know that American Apparels are very similar. They were just a little bit different. So that was going to be my fallback because I didn't want to try to go find a new brand completely and then, you know, try it out. So I just kind of went with something I knew.
Yeah.
But so I have them laid out on the thing, and I'm like, okay, this is a Mexican Spectra, this is a Pakistan Spectra, and this is an American Apparel. And so I was like trying them on, and I kept on like not trying to convince myself, but like, you know, maybe this will be okay. And then by the end, I was like, no, this is they're just too different. So this is also what's interesting. So I contact Spectra and I talk to my rep, and he goes, "You got those?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "We're not even supposed to be sending those out." He's like, they're not correct. He's like, we tried to get this. He gave me like a little more insight into what happened. And he's like, we tried to get this factory to manufacture them to the specifications. And it just wasn't working. So we're not even going to use those. We're just going to basically eat all those that we made. He's like, yeah, you shouldn't even got them. I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Well, I guarantee you that he's lying to you.
Well, I mean, maybe.
Because Brandon... If anyone's going to know the behind-the-scenes stuff here, it's going to be Brandon.
You know, I know.
So with with the amount of t-shirts that Brandon buys, we know, like, when he says something, that's why I was telling you before, like last week, I was like, just call Brandon.
Yeah.
And get like, don't even go to your rep anymore. Don't even buy, just go down the hill, go to Brandon's shop and literally take t-shirts from him.
And that's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to see the brand, but I was just kind of in this weird thing. Like, I mean, like I said, I don't know how I still got myself into this corner where I still have like the stuff that I have to do before next week, before we leave for Mininat. So it all worked out. Everything's good. I got some good shirts. I'm going to print on those. Everything's going to be fine. But it was just kind of like my little adventure on this whole thing. And what bothered me the most wasn't even the like the tags or anything, but it was the side seams. Because the shirts that we're used to is what they call like a tubular knit, which is just like it's a tube. But what I found out is, and whether this is true or not, I don't know, but some companies shy away from making those because in order to make them without seams, you need like a small machine, a medium machine, and all the sizes. Where the ones with the seams, they can basically cut out a bunch of patterns and then sew it down to the size.
Okay.
That's why they have the seams, so they can tailor it to whatever size you need. But I wasn't feeling the seams. I wasn't feeling the tag was bothering me too.
I hate the tags.
Abnormally long.
Those tags, I'm like, because when I got the show shirts and then I came home and I was like, these are totally different t-shirts.
They are.
These are totally different. And even Brandon you could tell at the show when he was talking to us.
I know.
So so I don't know what the brand that he was talking about, but with the thing with Brandon that works is he's got such a, he's got to make sure that his stuff is very, the same. What is the word for the same?
Consistent.
Consistent. Mm-hmm. So if he found a shirt that's very similar and he's happy with it, that's going to be the one.
And I'm probably going to, that'll be where I end up going. You know,
I don't even know if he's there yet. Cause I got to actually call him when I get.
Yeah. You got a bunch of shirts that need to be printed next week too.
I got artwork that I'm going back and forth with on right now. So
like, I'm in the same boat. I'm in the exact same. That's exactly where I'm at. So, you know, we got back from the Forbidden show and I mostly had everything ready where I just restock stuff, but there were a couple that I needed to actually reprint. And then I'm coming out with this new design. And that's why that was probably the biggest like issue that I had is I'm coming out with a new design. So I needed a lot, like if it was just like, you know, a dozen here, a dozen there, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I had this like big thing that I needed to do. But yeah, I'm in the same boat. So I'm like waiting on art. I'm hopefully getting the art Monday or Tuesday, maybe. And then I got to make all those. So right back to where I started, man. Yeah. It's been a week.
I got art yesterday and I was like, he did not listen to my notes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was the same situation last year. Remember last year we were at Havasu? It was Saturday and he sent me artwork and I was like, no, change it. And then when we left on Monday is when I actually got final
thing.
And he had to ship them out. So
that's right. And we had to go pick them up at like a little, I think we had to pick them at a Walmart.
And if there's in a FedEx, that's the same place I had to pick hats up the year I forgot my hat.
That's right. Yeah. 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 Because you approved the art as we were driving out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was wild, but
so
worked out. Hopefully it'll work out again this time. And if I end up with not taking this new design, well, then, oh, well, that's what I can't.
Don't say, oh, well, you make it happen.
I'm trying to.
I don't know who you're using to adjust the artwork, but like.
Well, by the time this episode comes out, everything will be fine. Yeah. And I'll have it and I'll post. I can't post about it right now because I actually don't know what it's going to look like.
The funny part about these two artworks, the one I'm talking about and the one you're talking about, is the way we got these two pieces of art.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We'll talk about that at some other time.
And you could have done the same thing I did, just had the original person that did it adjust it for you, and he does it in like 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And Angie did some adjusting on it too. But she's so busy, you know, with softball and everything. So, but this person that I'm using, he's really good. I'll shout him out. It's MJ Phillips. He's done a couple other designs for me. He's excellent. He's really good. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
But
I'm having hats made with a new logo on it.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
With a whole new brand logo on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So nice. I'm not going to put it out there yet. You'll have to see, mini nats, but I was going back and forth with some stuff on logo design with a few different people. Finally got someone that an old friend of mine that nailed it down for me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm pretty stoked with it.
Yeah, you happy?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, logo design. Logo design is hard, man. Especially my last name. It's Goode, right?
Right.
And what I found out with is all my letters in my name are round. G, O, and then there's a round on U, and there's a round on the D, and then there's a round on the E. There is no, like, straight. I was looking at these straight logos, like Illust and all this stuff, and they're very, like,
very blocky. I-L-L,
very blocky. So I was, like, trying to recreate that, but I can't because my logos are round. And then so in talking with my buddy, we figured that out. And then he was like, okay, let me play with this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an actually drawn logo, not a font, because with fonts you can actually get, you know what I mean? Like, you can get in trouble down the road if you use fonts and da, da, da. So, yeah, I'm excited for it.
That's cool. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff going down. I have some not new hats, but I had some hats made. So RJ will be shipping those out to me pretty soon. Doug, I know you're listening.
RJ's making me hats. Do you want him just to ship them to me?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, either way, I mean, putting them in the mail and coming here and coming there. Yeah. They're going to be done. I think they're done today, so.
Oh, okay. Or maybe I'll just pick them up. I'll message him and say I'll pick them up.
That too? Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Hold on, I was talking to Doug. Doug. I know you're listening. Yeah.
Oh,
I
need those stickers. Doug's always listening. Oh, I need to get stickers from Doug too.
Doug, we need those stickers, dude.
I haven't even given Doug the artwork to make my stickers yet.
So. Oh, I gave that to you 2 weeks ago.
He'll have him done because he talked to me the other night and he was like, "Hey, I got to do some stuff for Frank, so I'll do some stuff for you."
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Awesome. Yeah. Wheels are turning. Things are happening. Getting ready to head to Mininats. So the next episode that you guys will hear, well, hopefully this works out, is we'll be sitting down with Lindsay again and doing a little update with her.
Yeah.
Because exactly a year ago, we sat down with her talking about her brand and everything. Yep. So
this time, hopefully it won't be 2 o'clock in the morning. So, and then I have to upload the podcast. Then we have to leave in the morning. So this time, hopefully you guys are out here at a decent time and then we can get that uploaded and done. And then we have to do another podcast and upload it the next week because we're going to be gone the whole week.
Yeah. So, but we're going to be spending the whole week doing podcasts. So.
Yeah, but I don't want to edit a podcast at Mininats and put it out.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going to be, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So do you want to do one next week, just you and me and then Lindsay? Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
We do one next week and maybe we'll just like, hey, if anyone has questions or whatever, like we need to record this podcast because what we'll do is we'll have the one with Lindsay on the week before Mininats. And then we'll have that one that we record the week of Mininats. And then when we get back from Mininats, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Since we're leaving so early, there's an extra Monday in there.
Right. I see what you're saying. It was cool last year, though, when we, even though it was like late and we got it done, but it was really cool to sit there because we left.
Well, we're going to do the same thing.
Right. Now, I'm just saying like last year was cool because we recorded it, uploaded it. And by the time we got to the show, people had already watched it. And
that's
like,
the same thing's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the one that right after Mininats when we are on our way home will be the one that me and you record together.
I see. So it's gonna. I think that's what we did last year too. It was like a little bit out of sync.
That's what I think you're thinking that the one that I'm saying the one with Lindsay is going to be after Mininats. No.
It's not. Before Mininats. Monday, and then the one that we record at
same
next
thing.
Week.
Same exact.
Before
thing.
That, okay.
Same exact.
A little thing. Confusing, but I get it. I hope you guys get it. I hope the audience gets it too.
The audience checked out a long time ago.
Whatever. Just upload that. Just put it on there. Just put it on there. I'll listen. But so this is Monday morning. Is there a new Tacoma episode?
There is. That's one of the reasons I was up very late was because this episode was so confusing and so I did not record enough.
Oh.
And so the vision that I had in my head for it when I went to edit it. And I had to record the Tacoma stuff twice. I went out and recorded it a couple of days ago. It's now Friday. So I think I went out like Monday or Tuesday, drove up to an area, filmed some B-roll of the truck, filmed me talking, filmed me in the garage, got back, hated it because I'm filming with my camera on a 17 to 24 wide angle lens. And I usually have it on 17. And so I'm real, but I, for some reason it was zoomed on 24 and I didn't notice that when I was recording. So I had to redo everything.
Oh, man. So
get in the truck, wipe the truck down, wipe the wheels down, go out. And then this time I actually filmed rolling shots with the DJI.
Like, oh, cool.
On the truck, looking at the wheels. And
Who drove the truck?
I did. I just put the DJI on my truck facing the wheels.
Oh, I see. You put the pocket on the side of the Tacoma filming the wheels.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, and then I stopped, turned it around, filmed the front.
Yeah, so it's so much work.
I stopped. I had one camera facing it as I aired out. I had another camera on the other side of the truck facing the wheel as it aired out.
Oh, cool.
It's a whole thing to get 2 minutes of
by video. By yourself. Makes it a ton harder.
Yeah.
But, well, so let's take this one piece at a time. We'll talk about the wheels and stuff in a second, but you took it to a cruise night last weekend.
Yeah.
How was that? Was it fun?
Yeah, it was cool because it was the first time, the first time we drove it on the freeway was like the whatever, but then I drove it around the neighborhood. Now I'm getting to the point where I know my limitations on how low I can drive it, how far I can turn without hitting fenders, like all that stuff, you know? So now I'm getting more comfortable and it's just now and I bought new door rubbers for it. So it's quiet. It's a little bit quieter on the inside. Yeah. Still super, super loud. Cause there's no insulation or anything or sound deadening. And, but yeah, just getting more used to driving it again and more comfortable with driving it.
That's cool.
Show went to the cruise night and, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. And everything went well. Nothing.
Oh, I blew an axle seal. So when I'm at the cruise night, I'm looking at the truck and I look at the back wheel and there's oil all over the back wheel.
Oh no.
And I'm huh. Oh well. I just cleaned it off and I was just drove home and then I've been so now every time I drive it around, oil spills just launches out onto the back wheel. So now I gotta clean it and then do it again. So I'm gonna go next week to
Why do you think it's blown axle? Because you put new seals and stuff in it when you shorten the axle a little bit. Or you didn't or
I don't know. I forgot what we did.
Oh.
Who knows? It just one of those things. So I'm gonna take it down to Panda's next week and we're gonna pull the axle out and fix that seal and
Cool. So now the wheels. I've been waiting a long time to talk about these dang wheels.
Yeah.
Tell me about the wheels.
They're new wheels.
Yeah.
Shingo, our friend and club member and editor for Custom Trucks Mag in Tokyo. He's always up to something. He's always up to something, you know, and you just never know what he's up to. And so he messaged me and he goes, "Hey, I want to start a new wheel company." And I said, "Cool." And he said, "I want to put wheels on your truck." I said, "There's two problems there. One, I love the wheels on my truck. Mm-hmm. And two, I don't have any money."
The second reason might be bigger than the first reason.
Well, they are very equal reasons.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I explain some in more detail in the video about this. So you have to go watch that.
Yeah, well, so, I'm waiting.
I know. I was trying to get it done. When I messaged you last night about that footage of me and Shane's truck, I was like, "Hey, send me that footage." And when you didn't reply, I was like, "Well, I'm not going to show Frank the video in the morning."
Oh.
Because I was like, if you would have replied and sent it to me, I would have finished it and I could have.
Yeah. Sorry, I fell asleep.
It's okay.
Now you're asleep.
At night, at 11 o'clock at night.
Like a normal bedtime. Yeah.
This is what happens when you don't have kids or a job.
Right.
You don't have anything to do. So he was like, I was like, "If you can make those wheels look like my current wheels, you know, maybe we'll tweak them a little bit. We'll be good." And he goes, "Yeah." So we went back and forth on some designs, got the design, and he got them made. And he was sending me photos of when they were made. And then they did a big photo shoot with them out there in a studio in Japan. And then they went and they balanced them. They took them to a shop and they were making sure they were all true and all this quality control stuff, you know what I mean, that they were doing on these wheels because the first set that they had made, well, that he had made. And then he was like, "Okay, I'm going to," he's like, "some Nitto tires are going to be showing up to your house." And I was like, "Oh, cool." Because he works with Nitto very closely out there, so he has a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. So those showed up. And then he was like, "Hey."
And you took a picture of those a while ago.
Yeah,
I totally forgot about that, and that you just had these brand new tires, and maybe I just assumed that you were changing the tires on it or something.
Yeah,
and it was just a very subtle, because you already knew what was going on. No one knew. By the way, no one knew what this was happening.
There was two people that knew.
Right. Yeah. Very little, and I was not one of them.
I love not telling you stuff.
No, I know it's great. I love it too.
Yeah. It makes this whole thing. I used to not tell Carl stuff, and Carl, because me and Carl talk quite a bit, and he goes, "I hate surprises," and I'm like, "That's just the way it is, man. Sorry."
I love surprises.
Yeah. So he has now accepted the fact that I'm not going to tell him things. Oh, it's not against him or anything. It's just this is the way I like to roll. So, and then the other funny part was he usually will ship from a U.S. airbase out there, just to make things cheaper and easier and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know you could do that. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, he was like, hey, the wheels aren't going to get there in time if we ship. So I'm just bringing them on the airplane with me.
That's awesome.
So he checked four wheels in as luggage to go under the plane.
Which I've seen videos of those fools loading planes. He was taking a little bit of a gamble there.
Yeah.
Just some dude just chucking boxes.
Well, it ended up being two boxes because they strapped two boxes. So it wasn't four. They actually strapped two together. And these wheels are insanely light.
Yeah.
I did not expect them to be that light. But yeah, so I have new wheels.
That's awesome. So my whole experience of that. Well, first of all, I want to start with the design. The design is killer. And I somewhere along the line, I don't know if we said on the podcast or we just said it in person or we talked about it. Like, that's the kind. There are several wheel companies out there. There are many, many, many wheel companies, but there are several like kind of like very bespoke wheel companies that are kind of starting. Mm-hmm. And I think when people start designing wheels, they kind of try to think too much outside of the box, and they get very creative with them, and then they almost end up being a little too much, you know what I mean? Or a little too creative, if that makes sense. But, and then we made this comment that, like, why don't these guys just take classic looking wheels and tweak them just a tiny bit? Yeah. And that's exactly what you did with your wheels. Is they're the Enki, what are they called?
LM1s.
LM1s, just a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And that little difference, like I was watching, I looked at your truck with the old wheels on it, and then I was watching this video that I made with the new wheels on it. Those new wheels are so much better.
They put me over the top as far as being excited for my truck.
It changed the whole dynamic of the truck.
Yeah,
like the other wheels were great. Like, obviously we like those wheels.
I was gonna say is in the video that I made about the wheels is the wheels. I love Enki LM1s. I'm keeping those, but I'm going to have them finished in a different finish. So they just came out too silver. They didn't come out the finish I wanted, but it wasn't the end of the world because I was like, I'll just get them redone later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so that's one of those things is like, I guarantee once I have them redone in more of a brushed or like an aluminum look, because chrome Enki LM1s are sick.
Oh, those are great. Did you see that hard body that was at the show?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, so Enki LM1s are probably one of the, like, you know, they're an exposed lug nut, five spoke wheel is the bee's knees in my opinion.
No, it's so, totally killer.
Yeah. So like when they were silver, I was just like, I'll live with it, but it wasn't what I wanted. So I wasn't so super excited about it.
Mm-hmm. So they ended up a little too dark for you. Then you wanted more of a brushed lighter.
I wanted more of like almost like a powder coated chrome because it comes out looking like that aluminum look.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want chrome, but I did want more of a metal look.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
no, I see that, but yeah, no, the wheels that you got really changed the whole dynamic of the truck. You forgot to mention also the center caps have G's on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's super cool.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. It's the whole thing. It just worked out perfectly. He brought over lug nuts and, which I forgot didn't fit in the front because I have different size lug nuts for the studs for the front.
Oh, really? That's what the problem was. And
we were worried that I was like, oh, man, I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, the old lug nuts worked. So,
and then the other funny thing was, this is the other funny thing, is you, so he flies him to the show. On the way to the show, to the Forbidden Fantasy show, you stopped, you had the tires mounted, and then you got to the show and put the wheels on at the show Thursday afternoon. So
he landed at LAX Wednesday morning. Got through customs, did all that, got a rental car, and drove to Phoenix and got to my house about 5:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get it to where it was earlier. We can go get the tires mounted. It didn't happen. So I wake up Thursday morning, and I go to the show with wheels and tires. And Shingo stayed in Phoenix, and he went to, like, Panda, LG Billet, Pro Performance, Switch. He did, like, a whole shop thing, and then he came out to the show Thursday night. So I had to essentially get the tires mounted on the wheels. And at first, I was like, we'll just do it Friday morning. I'll send Shingo to somewhere in Bullhead on Friday morning, and he can do it. But then I messaged my buddy because I was going through Lake Havasu, and I messaged my buddy at Premier, and I was like, hey, who do you have mount your wheels and tires? And I was hoping he had a machine. We could just do it at his shop.
Uh-huh.
But he mentioned this place called Ron's Wheel and Tire, and those dudes were like just rolled up, and they're like, what do you need? And I told them, and they're like, cool. And they just did it. And they let me film in the shop, and all this stuff, and they're all about it. So
that's cool. And it's actually better that you didn't try to do it on a Friday, because that would have just added a whole another thing to do on Friday, which Friday was such a huge, you know, busy day anyway.
Yeah.
So it worked out well. So, yeah, so I rock up to the show, and I see your truck up in the air with the wheels off, and I'm like, what is going on here? And then, so, you know my brain, right? So when I've been driving for a long time, my brain goes on autopilot, so it takes me a little bit to, like, catch up, really.
And
like,
and you pull up, and you're in the mix of all these people, and so you're just trying to, like
catch process, up,
but
yeah.
also, like, say hi to people and, like,
right, do, people yeah, come yeah, up yeah, to, yeah, yeah. So then, so I see your truck, and then I see your old wheels against the wall, and you're like, yeah, take a look. And I look at them, and they're so similar. I'm like, why are you putting the same wheels? I said, but I did notice they were different colors. I was like, maybe they're like, are they bigger? Are they smaller? Are you going 18s? Like all of these things in my head. And well, the funny part is no one would actually give me a straight answer what's happening. Everyone was just, I mean, just being, you know, whatever. But just
a lot of people didn't know.
But like the people helping you.
The people helping you.
Yeah,
they didn't know that you didn't know.
Oh, I see.
So nobody knew what was happening.
That makes a lot
of sense. No one knew what was happening.
No one knew what was going on.
I just had this pit crew.
That's right. You had the West Sider pit crew, or the West Side.
The Perfect Poise pit crew.
Yeah the West Side Bed Movers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it took me a while to figure out what was going on, but slowly started putting the pieces together. Slowly started to realize what's going on. And then put it all together, and I was just as excited as you were. They're super cool. And throughout this whole thing, what, you never said the name. What is the name of the company?
Oh, Billet Tech.
Billet Tech, yeah.
Yes. All right, we're back.
We're back online?
We're back online.
Everything's working? Okay,
yeah, cool. I got a fan blowing on the...
It came back on?
It came back on, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you guys had your first 100-plus day. Well, excuse the mess.
We don't know where we're at. My camera overheated, had to stop.
Yeah, because you guys had your first 100-degree day yesterday, huh?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Good luck, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't turned my AC on yet, though, so I'm holding out strong.
I had to turn mine on yesterday. Actually, yesterday I did turn mine on for the first time.
Now, my house has stayed cool because I have everything shut, and I haven't opened anything. So, like, once it starts to get hot like that, if I shut all the blinds, shut the curtains and everything, and just keep it shut up,
mm-hmm.
it'll stay cool for a while, so... I'm holding out strong over here.
You're like in denial. You're sitting there, I'm not turning it on. And it's just like sweating. You're like, I'm not turning it on.
It happened to me two nights ago. I was laying in bed and I was like, so I turned all my fans on, all the ceiling fans on. So that's how it starts.
The first little crack.
The ceiling fans come on and they don't shut off until like October.
Right. Yeah.
And then the AC will come on soon. So.
Oh, boy. But anyway, so we were talking about wheels, Shingo's Wheel Company, Billet Tech, how great they look on your truck. The last thing that I was saying is like, it's cool to be like what you did is just say like, hey, this is my favorite wheel, you know, remake this in a billet wheel. But you were saying that there could be some problems with that. Then we talked about tariffs for a couple seconds. Anyway, I don't know.
I don't know. But basically what I'm saying is like, you do whatever you want, but I didn't want to make the wheel look exactly the same.
Right. No, and I think it was the perfect mix of the two.
Because
you
so
could
too.
Because if you look at it, you can say, hey, those kind of look like those other things.
And Shingo doesn't want his to make a wheel that looks exactly like something else either.
Does he have some pre-done designs already? Is he still working on that?
He might, but he hasn't showed me anything yet. I know when he was out talking to Panda, they were talking about wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And I know him and Rich from Canada were talking about wheels. Mm-hmm. So, you know, could be a good thing for him, you know?
I'm excited.
Like you said, there's just a lack of simple wheels in 18s, in 20s.
Right.
You know, like everything is so big or it's just like, I mean, it's just like the, like a Civic. If you have a Civic, like a four lug older Civic and you're trying to find wheels for it, there is only one style of wheel available for that car.
Yeah, basically.
You can't go find a 16 inch like chrome wheel for that car or five spoke wheel. They're all a tuner style wheel.
Yeah.
So like just the trends have changed, and that's why you see people like Ben keeping all those old wheels because those are valuable now.
They're going to just go up in value. He last week we talked about me wanting some Alba Banks, which again, you know, funny, like I was saying earlier in the episode, like just talk about things put out in the world and things happen. I had no less than six sets of wheels sent to me.
Yeah.
Alba Banks, 18 inch. Yeah. So, but Ben found me a set and I was like, yeah, boom, I'll take them. Yeah. And then the thing is like my plan is to do what Joey, San Diego Joey, is to go take those over to Jaime, have them fix them, have them re-chrome them. And then I have a brand new set of Alba Banks, you know?
Yeah.
And what Ben is doing is a smart move because eventually everybody will start doing that, you know?
Well, it's still a very small market. So up in value is definitely a relative term.
For sure.
Now you have some of those with the center caps because the wheels have almost zero value without the center caps. It's so funny. It's like a tripod without the shoe.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's a really good yes.
You know, because I have traveled across the country with my gimbal, that's when I use my mini crane.
Yeah.
So I had a tripod, and I had the mini crane that goes on the tripod, and then I needed a shoe to attach my camera to the crane. So I had all this equipment, no shoe.
Yeah.
Useless. All that equipment was useless.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can still bolt the wheel, but you're not going to run a wheel with no center cap.
Exactly. No way. Yeah. No. That's a good point. Yeah. Going back to that whole like simplicity thing about creating wheels that are simple. That's why like everybody who sees the set of wheels that you're putting on the red Toyota, everybody loves them because they're exactly that. They're these like super simple 5-spoke billet wheels with a little bit of design to them.
Yeah.
And that's why they're so killer. You know? Yeah. So wheel companies, listen up, man. Stop getting all rah.
They don't care because they're not selling 17, 18 inch wheels to anyone anymore. And they're not selling 20 inch wheels to mini truckers anymore. So they're selling stuff to full size truck guys.
That's true.
And off road wheels. So they don't care. And and it's not that they don't care because they don't want to care. It's they don't care because it's a business.
Right.
So they're not just going to cater to the small percentage of us, you know. So you got to do things like what Ben is doing, and there's people out there that are doing these things, and it's needed. So and finding wheels for $2 at Goodwill.
I know. I hope everybody went and watched that video because it was so good.
So
wheels, and then wheels. Sorry, I'm still off a little bit
speaking of wheels break. I guess we can just roll right into this.
Go ahead.
So Will Freeman.
Speaking about wheels and Will?
Well, no, but yes.
Just kidding.
He was going around taking like Polaroid-type pictures of people's cars and putting them in the cars as a surprise.
That's awesome.
I didn't know that he did this to mine because when I got home, I pulled the truck out of the trailer, threw it in the driveway, in the garage, and I didn't drive it for like a week. And then when I did drive it, I threw a bunch of stuff out on it. So I didn't even see this for a while, but he had taken this one.
Oh, that's sick, dude.
Of the wheel.
That's cool.
And this brings up another point. Everyone should shut their hoods at shows for like an hour towards the end of the day.
Yes,
so all photographers can get
and
videos can get people. So I'm just going to show the camera that. But yeah, I think I forgot to say it this year, but I have said it in years past at our show. Mm-hmm. At 3 p.m., everyone shuts their hood.
I like that. I like that idea.
So, you know what I mean? And just leave it shut.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, because you see these pictures of these badass trucks like in a row and all their hoods are up. And
the doors open.
And the doors open, but like it just ruins it, I think. I think everyone should, for an hour between 3 and 4 p.m., we should have a rule at every car show where everyone shuts their hoods and their doors. And then that's when you go out and you get your shots.
Yeah, no, I think that's a cool idea. Because most of the time it's me walking around. Like I'll film. Like I'm not like I don't skip over vehicles if the hood's open or anything. But what I will say is if I'm really into a particular truck and I want to get some, and I'm not saying that the other shots aren't good, but I'm saying I'll ask the owner, I'm like, hey, can we like shut the door, shut the hood?
I'll do that all the time. Yeah. Like, and I think if you're a photographer or video guy out there, don't be afraid to do that.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Like
people are more than happy.
And move stuff. If there's chairs in the back, trash. If there's cups in the front of it, like I've moved people's chairs. I look around. If no one's there, I'll move the chair out of the way so I can get my shot. It's like, I don't mind people in the background, but when it comes to stuff in the background, but I mean, I didn't have my hood up. I only had my hood up for maybe,
I know that's funny when you got that one. Cause you did not have the hood up that long.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, an example was, there was an, orange 8995 out there from Texas. The one from Committed with all the graphics on it.
Yeah.
Such a killer truck. I really like that truck. So going around and I saw the owner, I was like, hey, you know, can we just shut everything real quick? I want to get some cool shots. He's like, yeah, no problem. And this is the next thing we're going to bring up. I said, oh, let's get all these flyers out of your truck, too.
That leads right into that.
So let me move these. Let me move the one out of the seat. Here's the one out of the seat. Oh, let me grab the one out of the bed for you. Here's the one out of the bed. Now let me take some nice clips of your truck.
So Ronnie actually brought this up to me. Ronnie from C10 Talk at the reunion afterwards, he brought this up to me. He goes, "Hey, what do you think about when people put flyers on vehicles and stuff?" And I go, "I don't like it."
No.
I said, "Because it ruins like the pictures. Like if there's a photo of your vehicle from the show and you have a flyer in on your windshield wiper or in your window or on the side window,
yeah,
it ruins the photo of the vehicle." Mm-hmm. Like a little bit, not totally, but a little bit. And then when you throw them in the car, it's kind of like you're just throwing something in my truck.
Exactly.
So if you're still making flyers for your show, because I know a lot of people do still, hand them to people. Put them in their hands. Mm-hmm. It's more effective in somebody when you walk around and hand someone a flyer versus putting it on their vehicle.
Yeah.
Because 50% of the people, or there's some people that will not go to your show if you put it in their vehicle. They're like, it's not a good thing.
I've never heard that, but I would imagine that that is a thing.
I'd maybe not make that rash of a decision, but mm-hmm. it doesn't help.
Right.
They don't pick it up and go, "Oh, since this guy put a flyer on my truck or in my truck, I'm definitely going."
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm completely wrong on that part, but just hand them to people.
Yeah.
The owners, it doesn't matter. Like just hand them to every single person there and then they'll get around to the owner. You know, and then you're actually talking to, there's a conversation there when you hand it to them.
Yeah. And then you could like, they can ask you questions or you can get more info. They have the other big part of it is they have the opportunity to be like, "Oh no, thanks. I already know about it. Thanks."
Yeah, exactly. And then you save yourself a flyer.
Right. So the whole, that brings up a really interesting conversation about flyers in general. And you started it off with a very interesting thing. The people who still do flyers. Because we live in such a digital age of, you know, creating event pages and Facebook groups and dedicated IG pages like the FFF show page. You know, there's all this stuff out there. You can save posts. You can take a screenshot of it. You can share it to your friends quicker. You know, there's a whole like new world that we live in where flyers not necessarily needed, but not as needed, you know? So it is one thing interesting because there's still like, you know, like a lot of things in our scene that we do, which there's still nostalgia to it, getting a physical piece of media to have, you know, or whatever.
Well, that in itself can change, right? So we don't do flyers because our show is pre-reg only. It's going to fill up and we don't charge spectators. So we don't like need this revenue where some, if your show does charge spectators and you want more spectators there and you're relying on that revenue to like pay your bills, that makes sense that you're going to create these flyers and go around the town, go to shows, get more people there. But we don't do that. So it's not needed for us. But the other thing on that is, if you're going to create, you know, you create these flyers, you put all these company logos on there. That to me, when people go, "Hey, I'm going to put your logo on the flyer," it doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
I would rather you share my Instagram page on your Instagram page or on your Facebook page. Say, "Hey, thank you for, you know, GTV or thank you Custom Life for sponsoring the show, or you're going to be a vendor." And then it directs you to our page. Because if you hand someone a flyer, they're not going to look at the vendor logos.
Right.
And those vendor logos are becoming less valuable. So your leverage on telling a vendor that you're going to put their logo on the event flyer, even the event t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't put logos on an event t-shirt except for the presenting sponsor in years.
Yeah. And no one's noticed.
Because it makes the shirt look cleaner too.
Right.
When you have a bunch of logos on there, it doesn't look great. Mm-hmm. So I made the decision years ago to just be like, because people were like, "Oh, that logo's bigger than mine. Oh, can my logo be at the top?" And I remember someone said, "Well, I want my logo at the top." I go, "Here's the thing. We're just not putting any logos on there."
Yeah.
Everyone's on an equal playing field now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
that's interesting. We both have had our logos on plenty of flyers. We've actually had our logos on shows that we didn't even know about sometimes. Like, you just kind of end up there, you know, people just put it on there or whatever. But
it's cool. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to have like the back of the flyer list all of your vendors or list all of your sponsors, cool. But it's not one of those things where it's like a necessity. So sometimes it just muddies up the thing. Like you look at that flyer and if there's too much information on it, your brain gets all scatterbrained. Yeah. We're in this day and age, like you said, where it's all digital. So you can actually, instead of making this flyer that's all riddled with a million things of information, if you just made a clean flyer with the artwork and the date and the location, and then maybe some more information on the back, but that it gives you this opportunity now to like make this really super more high-end flyer versus trying to make a bunch of thin paper stock flyers. You know, your money can kind of shift a little bit.
Yeah. So the idea of that, like, you know, shouting out companies on your social media page, I think that's why that's important to create a dedicated show page for your show. One, yeah. Because like as people who travel to shows and who vend a lot of shows, it's easy for us because I've ran into a couple times where like, oh, hey, we're headed to this show this weekend and I want to tag them. There's no, it's either they don't have any page for their show or it's just someone's personal page.
That or they created an event page on Facebook, which is a great idea. But I decided not to do that. I think it was 2 years ago when I said, no, I'm not doing an event page because what happens is you make the event page and then the next year you have to make a new event page.
No, yeah.
And you're inviting all new people.
Right.
With the Instagram page. It's like a mailing list.
Yeah, basically.
It's already there. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's already there. It takes a little while, but now, like the first year I did it, not a lot of people knew. They're like, I didn't see the information. I'm like, go to this page. Eventually, now everyone knows you go to this page. Mm-hmm. And that's where all the information is.
An interesting thing that I've come up a couple times is when people ask me about that, like, where do I find out more information? I said, well, go to Instagram, go to the IG page. And they go like, well, I don't have an Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, we have to like do things that work for us and we can't accommodate everybody. So
yeah, because yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like 99% of the people are going to have Instagram pages in this right. scene. And if you don't, I have an email address.
There you go.
And if you don't have an email and if you don't have, then your buddy does and he can message me and you can give, you know what I mean? Like you're going to have a friend.
That's happened so many times. Like,
yeah.
Hey, go over to the Instagram. Oh, I don't have Instagram. Oh, well, we do have a Facebook. No, I don't do Facebook. And it's like you go through and at some point, and it also happens sometimes with payment too. Like, how do I pay you? Okay, yeah, I take, you know, Venmo, Zelle, PayPal, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't have any of those.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's, like, take all that away. How did you plan on paying me? You live in Virginia, by the way.
Well, I still have people mail me checks.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like where – my basically what I'm trying to say is like, where is the disconnect where you have to put out a little more effort than me, like – you know what
yeah,
I mean? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm kind of getting
yeah,
at.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, so. Tell me up front.
Yeah, like, what do you want to do?
Like, yeah, if you only write checks and you don't do the thing that that a lot of people do now, just tell me up front, like, hey, I'm going to send you a check.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll go, cool, here's your invoice.
Send me the check. But also, like, what you're dealing with is, are you talking more specifically about companies you work with who pay you for your services?
No, like the show. Like, people that sponsor a trophy. I have one guy that he sponsors a trophy, and every year he just sends me a check.
Okay.
So there's still, like... And I'm just like, yeah, that's fine. Here's an invoice. Just
is fine. You know, just is a different way to get about it.
It is.
But I'm talking about someone who wants to buy a T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Can I send a COD?
I had a young kid, young dude and young girl come up to the booth at the Forbidden Show. And I just happened to be in the booth and they were just like, hey, this, you know, I love your videos and da da da. I want this shirt and this shirt. And he's like, do you take Zelle? And I was like, yeah. I was like, this is it. And he's trying on his phone. He's like, can't get service. Mm-hmm. I was like, look, man, here's the shirts. When you get service, just send me the thing.
Yeah. That's
cool. Was so blown away.
Mm-hmm.
Like the little girl that was with him was like, thank you so much.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, because they just, you know what I mean? That's a tough thing to do. Yeah. Like, you don't know. It was $50. Right. So like they could have just boned out and they were young kids too.
Mm-hmm.
And like literally 10 minutes later, it went through and he texted me. He's like,
oh, that's
hey man,
cool.
I just sent the deal. I was like, cool, man, thanks.
That's awesome.
You know, so can't do that obviously with
all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
But every once in a while, like I'll roll the dice.
Yeah. 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 No. Yeah. I get that. The only one that I turn away, like this is me being an old man, is when they go like, do you take Cash App? No, I don't take Cash App.
Yeah. I don't do. I'm really old man and I don't even take Apple Pay.
I know.
I look at you. I'm like
Apple Pay. Like yeah,
yeah.
Well, because like it's kind of confusing because everybody, when you hear the word Apple Pay, you think it's Apple Cash, which it's not. All they're simply saying is, can I tap my phone?
Yeah,
that's all they're saying. So like,
but I don't live in that. I don't live in that world. No, I'm learning the tap world. I'm taking it from these young bucks like you.
Me and Angie both barely. Like carry our wallets around, you know, it's all on our phone, just tapping stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the flyer thing. I wanted to bring up one other little point about the flyer thing about, you know, we talked about how to get it to the people and all this other stuff from a vendor booth perspective as well. If you want to drop off flyers in the booth, that's super killer. We don't need a 4-inch stack of them.
Yeah.
Drop off a few of them, you know, because at the end of the show, all of a sudden I have this brick of flyers because I'm giving them out. Like people buy stuff. I'm giving them out. I'm proactive in helping out the show get their message out. But at the end, when they drop off like a 4-inch brick, I'm like, I got to get rid of these, you know?
And if you want to just mail me a stack of flyers or give them to me at a show, I will put them in packages that I mail out.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
But it goes right back to that. Don't send me 500 flyers. I don't sell 500 things on my website. Exactly. It takes me a long time to go through that. So, like, send 50 out or whatever, you know? Like, but, yeah, send them out, and then we could put them in packages. And then, yeah, like you said, at the booth, too. No problem. And people are very respectful. They always come up, hey, can I set these?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Set these down. But, yeah, you're right. Yeah, don't. Because I threw away a bunch of flyers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I feel bad doing it.
I know, right? Me too. Like, it's like you're wasting this thing, you know? You're like,
it's money. They spent money on these flyers.
I do. I feel the same way.
I don't keep things anymore. They get tossed.
Me too.
So,
well, I guess while we're on the subject complaining about free stuff that people give us, lanyards. I don't need them.
Oh, I like lanyards.
Oh, okay. Then give them to Brian.
Give them to me because I give them right back to everybody else.
Oh, there you go.
At LST, I had lanyards that I had collected since SEMA after SEMA after show after show. All these random lanyards, and I just put them in a bag and I put them on the front of my thing, and I go, "Those are free."
Yeah, and even some people are like, "Really?"
Yeah,
like, yeah, take them.
Yep. Yeah. Take them. Same with magazines. So I get sent magazines every month from the ones that I shoot for.
Mm-hmm.
I will take those. And then after a while, I just put them in the front of my booth and I go, those are free.
That's cool.
And people love that. And it's just like, so.
Yeah, free magazine.
Free magazines, free lanyards, stickers. People will send me stickers. We've had this discussion before.
Mm-hmm.
I got my sticker drawer and I will you'll get a random ass sticker from me if you order stuff on the website.
Which I can't, like, it's, this is my little hoarder mentality. I love stickers, so I'm keeping them. Like, I can't bring myself to give those away. I don't know why. I hold on to all of them.
It's because they don't take up a lot of room and they're cool.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you one of those kids growing up, either did you keep your stickers and not want to stick them, or did you just stick them wherever?
I don't remember.
I started off with, like, in school when you had those binders that had, like, the clear slide paper. So I would slide stickers in there and, like, do, like, because I would be like, no, I don't want to peel and stick it because that's it. So I used to be like that, but now I've grown to the point where, like, you see in all my gear and stuff, like, everything's covered in stickers.
I left when I was very young. I had the entire first edition of the Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh, really?
And I left them at a buddy's house, and his sister peeled them all off and stuck them all over his door.
Oh, no. Well, that's the end of that one.
Yeah. And we're not friends anymore.
Right.
I don't even remember what friend that was. But I got a bunch of stuff that we could talk about next week. Oh, we talked about that.
We don't exactly know how long this episode is because we're going to have to cut out a small portion of it.
It's about an hour right now. So, but we'll talk about this, I guess. Roulette
We got to talk about that.
He's got a couple Spotify playlists, and one that he created was like music that me and you use.
So it is that, but it's actually really nice that he did that. So he basically went through each one of our playlists, which are long, and he went and he curated the drop playlist. So it's a blend, and not just like grab a few songs. He went down, he's like, yeah, these songs are pretty similar. Let's put these together, and made like a cohesive playlist of songs. It's like really, it's actually really incredible. Thanks, Roulette.
Sometimes I forget that some of my friends know what they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
And like, you know, when it comes to music and stuff, he knows what he's doing.
Oh,
I learned that at the raffle when I threw Joey in the mix, and then Roulette's like, no, fool. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah. He's a little step aside.
So I tend to forget that all of us have like really cool things that we do and know what we're doing.
Right.
And Roulette is that he understands music and stuff, so he can like put things together.
One of the coolest things, I mean, Roulette has done many, many cool things, but a cool thing that he has done in the past was during the pandemic, during the lockdown, when we had what we call it, the virtual cantina, where we all got together the weekend of the show and got on Zoom. And he created a Forbidden Fantasy playlist. And we're like talking, listening to the playlist. It was a lot of fun. Man.
Well, he didn't know that you could do that on Spotify.
Oh, really?
So remember Roulette would make a CD of each show?
That's right. Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, I told Roulette one. I was like, hey, man, You should go on Spotify and make like a list, you know, like get up to date, old man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, you know, we often talk about the nostalgia of like craving, you know, real media. You know, those CDs were really cool. I mean, I still have a bunch, you know, like I'm sure.
I'm not saying they were. It was just at that time.
I'm 100% honest with you. I'm not going to go pop one in and listen to it. No. Just having them is cool.
I had in the past. I had one of his CDs in a CD player. I forget which truck I had. It might have been the Frontier. I don't know what it was, but it was always his CD.
Yeah.
In there, you know what I mean? Because I didn't drive the truck a lot, but it was always in there.
That was the one that you were listening to? Well, the best parts of those CDs were because he worked closely with, I forget the guy's name that worked at the X.
Mm-hmm.
X1039. And so they would do these drops, and they were so good. I mean, they were so funny, and like, he still does them. Like, you'll still hear him, like, put them out at shows and stuff. But those CDs, like, had those drops mixed into them.
Yeah.
And those were all fun. That's what, if I know Roulette's listening, what you should do is also is start a like a Spotify page with just the drops, and then you could put those in the playlist. You see what I'm saying? Like that'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, I still get this guy Gary Ellison still sends me every year after our show. He sends me a digital on a CD pictures of our show.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It if you play on that stuff in the right way, like if Roulette were to take the artwork from the show, put it on a case and make and then use it and then like have those and like a collectible thing instead of things he just mass produces on burnt CDs, you know, like make them collectible versus make them just a thing. And they become almost pieces of art.
Well, it's just like what Will was doing with the photographs and stuff. Yeah. And also... Yeah. It's over there. It's far, but the at Cruise to the Pines last year, when that dude rocked around and made those like little tiny Polaroids, and he signed them.
Oh yeah.
Like I don't even know who the guy is, and he just signs them, puts his Instagram on there, and drops them in the truck. You know, like little things like that. You don't have to like turn it into a thing where you feel like, okay, I got to go to the show, and now I got to shoot all these trucks, and I got to make photos. But just like little tiny things like that is really cool.
Yeah, it's exactly. And Roulette could really make that something that, you know, he's starting selling merch and stuff. Mm-hmm. He could literally make 25 of these really cool jewel case CDs with the artwork on it and put those at his booth.
Yeah.
With 10, 15, however many songs on it. Yeah. Yeah. There's so many cool things you can do that we never think about because we're so caught up in the current trends of things.
Well, and caught up in like the rush of everything and
boy that. But I mean like Will Freeman doing these.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he didn't go there and just like, oh, I gotta make a bunch of Instagram reels or I gotta do this.
That's, like, that's what I'm saying. Like like they're very limited. They're very like specific. Like it's
you almost gotta slam on the brakes.
Yeah.
And go backwards a little bit and go, what can I make that's unique? What can I do that's unique?
Exactly. I gotta go get my kid from the bus. It's that time. So we'll see you next week.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, then. Sorry to end it abruptly, but bye. We'll see you next week.
Later.